If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
We thought we needed to check in with the Pacer folks and think what the folks from Indiana think about things. And let's go right to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to figure that out. He's been a longtime analyst on the Indiana Pacer broadcast on television, working with Chris Denari, the play-by-play guy. They do a great job together. He's former NBA player. He's won an NBA championship, an Olympic gold medal, NCAA championship, coached in the NBA with the Dallas Mavericks, and was actually color analyst for the Cleveland Cavaliers for a little while. Mr. Quinn Buckner joining us. Hello, Quinn. Good to have you with us.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you.
What'd you think last night? The Pacers came out hot. Pacers stayed hot and then kind of sustained a Cavaliers run in the second half and pulled away late, Quinn. That was a very impressive game, I thought, by your Pacers.
Well, the Pacers are a good team. You know, you guys, Cleveland has a great team. Pacers are a good team. They played pretty much since probably the first of the year. That's like 10 and 15, and then there was a struggle because Ty came back from the Olympics and couldn't quite get his footing. Andrew Nembhard went out, and then Aaron Nesmith, who are two of the perimeter defenders, and that really caused, you know, a stumble coming into the year. But since then, they played pretty consistently. They play at pace. This team has gotten better defensively from last year to this year, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've been together for a while and had to learn the concepts. And the thing about, you know, anything we do in life, It's not just about the first time you get guys together. It's about you do it repetitively so you don't have to think about it. You just do it. And I saw that on both sides of the ball. Pacers run up and down. They know where the shooters are going to be, where their particular guy is going to be, and a guy that can make the shot. Ty found him. And I thought that happened consistently. And then when you do that, that sometimes raises your level of defense. And then it becomes frustrating, I think, frankly, for some of the Cleveland players who haven't quite been at this depth yet, and that makes a difference. So I think initially there was some shock, but having gone through it in the first game, I don't think there'll be a shock in game two.
Yeah, Quinn, we were just talking about the end of the game where, you know, the Cavaliers make that big run and the place is going crazy, and yet the Pacers were able to weather the storm on that. And you kind of look back at the history of how they were able to get here against Milwaukee and how strong they're playing in the fourth quarter now, especially compared to defensively early on in the season. Just your thoughts on the end of the game yesterday and the way they were able to wrap it up.
Well, they were able to stay poised. You know, they didn't let the fact that there was a run made, you know, there by the Cavs, it didn't let it rattle them and get them out of what they do. And it helps to have, you know, somebody that can handle the ball and has the composure of Ty. Ty makes a big difference, but you know, you got a number of guys there. Siakam is solid. Nembhard, these guys they're poised. They do a really good job of staying into what Coach Carlisle wants them to do, which is push the ball up the court, make a miss. And if you don't make it, get back. The offensive rebounds, if they come your way, you got a good chance at it, you get it. If you don't, you got to get back, because the nature of this, you guys know, of the game today, is three-point shots off of a missed shot going in the other direction are the one that can be most debilitating, and the Pacers stayed away from that. I thought, for the better part of the evening.
Quinn Buckner joining us. He is the color analyst on Indiana Pacer telecast. And, of course, longtime NBA player, NBA head coach, former Cavaliers analyst for a short period of time. The shooting last night by the Cavaliers wasn't typical, but do you think the Pacers would love to see Donovan Mitchell take 30 shots in game two and Ty Jerome take another 20? Two guards taking 50 of the 98 shots, Quinn?
Depends on how many they're making.
There's the answer of the day.
I mean, I don't know if you necessarily you want that. I mean, I don't think there was a choice. And this is one of the interesting things that I think you guys have said there. One of the things that has my interest is how do you figure out how to work without Darius? That's huge, because he's the one guy that you have on the team, you know, being that he's healthy. And that toe is not a trivial injury. That's a big-time injury that can get a shot. Then you won't have to have either one of those guys take quite that many. Ty nor Donovan take that many. But without that, you've got to figure out who else you can get into the game that can create their own shot. That's really what I thought was a big part of the challenge for the Cavs last night, that those two guys that took the most shots, they could get shots. The other guys, it's not their nature. Evan Mobley is just learning how to be a player at the next level. He's not a guy that's typically dominating. And just by personality, you can see it. That's not his nature. So now you got to have somebody else. You got to have at least three or four guys when you're really trying to succeed at this level to do that. Now, what they do tomorrow, I'm anxious to see in terms of making shots, but didn't really make a lot of shots. So that puts you at a severe disadvantage. And that can be on the defensive end for a team. That can be a little bit tough. You can get your head out of the games. And you got to remember, these are pros, but they're young people. They're people. And these things bother some guys more than others sometimes. And I heard earlier a thought, too. One of them, this is always a challenge. This is human nature again. You sweep the previous series, and then you come play against a team that's had to play against a better team in Milwaukee. That's two different levels of competition. Now you've got to get your mind around playing against a Pacer team after you just swept a series. And some people can get there faster than others. I'm sure Coach Atkinson has talked about that. You don't have time to make that kind of transition. You've got to do it right now. And having not done that immediately, that's got to happen in game two. Those are the kind of transitions you have to make when you're in playoffs.
Quinn, what do you think a coach is worth in this series? A game? Two games, maybe? I mean, the players have to do what they have to do, but I think we've got two really, really good coaches in this series, and I'm just kind of wondering what you think, you know, how much of a difference does a coach make in the series, and how many games do you think that's worth?
I don't know how many games that's worth. It's got value. Look, you got to have leadership, period. I don't care what your group dynamic is, basketball, business, whatever you want to call it. You have to have great leadership in order to have success with anything. Rick has been with this team a little bit longer than obviously Kenny has been with this team. So there's something to be said there. Rick has more head coaching experience in the playoffs by virtue of the fact, I think Rick is 14th in wins in the league. So you're talking about a guy that's got considerable experience. I'm not downgrading Kenny Atkinson because I think he's a hell of a coach, quite frankly. I think all of that plays into these kind of things. I didn't think Kenny did anything that you shouldn't have done yesterday. As a matter of fact, I thought he did quite a good job, but he can't go out there and make shots. At the end of the day, it's still about making shots. And the Cavs had a hard time making shots. He got the question is whether you can get shots. He got them shots, just didn't make them.
Quinn Buckner joining us from the Indiana Pacers television network. Quinn, as they head into game two, I would think that the Pacers are going to be hard-pressed to shoot 53% from behind the three-point line, and I would think the Cavs will shoot better from behind the three-point line. If you're the Cavs, do you make any major adjustments? Do you think you did something terribly wrong, or do you just try and do better at what it is you do?
I just think a lot of it is mindset. I really do. I think technically you did a lot of things right. You get to shooters quicker. Again, because you when you play a Miami team, you're probably playing a team that's a little more apt to be looking to set to go into their offense. The Pacers are set to go in their offense as soon as the ball comes in bounds. That's the difference. So you've got to be ready to play your man a lot sooner in terms of where they are on the floor than you did with Miami, because you had a number of guys on Miami that are not taking shots right away. But that's not the case necessarily with the Pacers. They've got guys that have come down in not in transition, but on makes that are, if they're open and it's their shot, they're encouraged to take it.
Quinn, I thought Greg Anthony made a great point last night. He said, when you're playing fast, it takes away some of the size. And I think the Cavs had a size advantage with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen that they didn't really get a chance to exploit yesterday. Miles Turner, the only starter for Indiana over 6'8". That said, man, I love that quartet of guys between 6'4 and 6'8 for Indiana that gave the Cavaliers absolute fits playing a team style of basketball. How do the Cavs defend those four guys? And how do they deal with them? Because obviously there's a size advantage here with Donovan Mitchell, and if Darius is out there, that'll be the case as well.
Yeah, you got to get back in transition. I mean, and that's the challenge that you have with Cleveland when you play the two bigs. Both of them are not going to get back. One may get back, but which means you still are probably going to leave somebody on the perimeter that can take and make a three-point shot. That's really the challenge on Cleveland's side. And that's one reason why – it's not one reason. It's the main reason why the Pacers run as much as they do. You know, you can be undersized, but if you're going to be undersized, guys, this is no different when you play pickup. If you play pickup and you got a couple big guys on the floor and they're not on your team, you run them. It's not any different than that. So you may have to go with a smaller lineup in order to make sure you can get to the three-point shooters, which may mean you may not be able to play, Jared and Evan as much as you would like to. Or you're going to have to figure out the other side of that is to make sure that you make Indiana pay for playing that smaller lineup on the inside. I mean, this isn't – I don't want to say it's not brain surgery, but it isn't. It just, if you got the advantage on the inside, you got to take advantage on the inside. If you don't have the advantage because of your size, then running is your problem. Now you got to look at it entirely differently.
Quinn, no matter who wins this series, it's got a 6- or 7-game feel, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would think so. But, you know, in order to be successful in the playoffs, and this is what I always loved about it, I always love winning on the road. I love winning, but I love winning on the road. Everybody's going to have to win on the road at least one, if not two games, in order to be successful if you're trying to win a championship. That's just the nature of it, and you got to step up to the plate and do that because, you know, the people that typically play good on the road, I mean, when they're at home, they call them the others, or, if you will, your bench. Well, I thought the Pacers' bench was really good, and I thought that made a difference. And I'm sure that's what Kenny Atkinson is looking at with his team. How can they get more out of the bench and or the players that they just put in, you know, periodically to give, you know, Donovan a break, a Ty a break, or whomever. When you play at home, those guys really have to play at home well at home because it's just a little different feel when you play on the road and you hear all of that crowd the way it was. You know, the Cavaliers was coming down when that's coming at you. And the Pacers, I thought the bench was able to handle that.
Great to have you with us, Quinn.
Thank you
very
Quinn.
Much for your time. Thanks, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Quinn Buckner from the Indiana Pacer Television Network joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Quinn Buckner just with us from the Pacers Television Network, former player, coach, and kind of cool, as I mentioned earlier, one of eight guys to win an NCAA title, an NBA title, and then Olympic gold medal.
It's really cool.
That's a pretty good resume.
Yeah,
isn't
that
it?
Is really cool. That reminds me of, I think it's Ken Morrow, in the same year.
From Bowling Green.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Won a NCAA championship, the gold medal at the Olympics in Lake Placid.
And won a Stanley Cup, didn't he?
Won a Stanley Cup in the
with
same
the
year.
Islanders?
Yeah.
Yep. Look at me, huh?
Look at that. That was really good.
Huh? Did you like
your
that?
Hockey talk, you didn't watch.
Went to Bowling Green.
Yeah.
It was with the Islanders.
That was good, man. Some good. I know
you
we're
impressed?
Not gonna, yeah, I know we're not going to get into it, man. Some awesome hockey over the weekend, so... We'll talk about that, I'm sure, at a later date.
All right. That sounds just absolute dandy.
Yes.
We're going to get back into talking about the game in just a little bit. Can I throw one thing out, though?
Sure.
The TNT telecast last night, I thought Spiro Dedis and Greg Anthony did an outstanding job.
Yeah, they were good.
And
I actually, at one point, thought they were a little pro-Cavalier. And I'm like, if I'm sitting in Indiana, do I like this? But I thought they just called the game the right way, so...
There are a couple of things. Greg Anthony, and I mentioned it to Quinn just a moment ago, Greg said, if the game is fast, you can't play as big. And I thought that's one thing that Indiana did a great job with the Cavs. They played fast so that their big guys, and because of that, their big guys maybe not the impact on the game that you'd like to have. And Spiro, who was on the show last week, right? I think Spiro was with us last week.
Yeah.
Spiro was into it. And he had some words flying yesterday. Which ones did you like the most? Spiro during the course of the telecast. And I started writing him down because he was going. Brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Magnificent. Mm-hmm. Surgical. Detonated.
Ooh, that's a good word.
Breathtaking. Magical. Massive. Sprinkling some of his stardust. With Donovan Mitchell and bare knuckle street fight. Spiro is cooking.
What was after surgical? The one I really like.
After detonated? Surgical was detonated.
I thought detonated. That's a good word.
Yeah. It was.
That's a good play-by-play
word. He had
word.
Some good ones going.
Yeah, that's got to be a three-pointer or a dunk, right?
I think it was a dunk.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
That's a good word.
Oh, he was cooking. I thought they did an outstanding job last night. So maybe we'll get them both back on the show. That'd be fun.
That's the way to do it. I was looking at the TV deal. They have most of these games. Yeah, ESPN's got game 3, game 6, and then game 7. Everybody else is TNT, True, and Max.
I'm going to miss TNT doing games. I think they do a really nice job.
They do a good job. It's
and it's more than, you know, it's more than their halftime show and their postgame show and pregame. Although, you know, I love those guys. But I think their broadcasters do a really nice job. Very good.
I don't know.
Spiro does a great job on all the CBS stuff he does as well.
Yeah, he does. He does. I don't know. I've been trying to sample other markets other than our own. And over the last couple of weeks, I got to tell you, like, I wish we played the Yankees more often because their broadcast team is fantastic. And their pre- and post-game show blows everybody else's out of the water. I mean, they're just so good, SoPro. I don't know. I mean, it is Market One, but that yeah, and for years I would make fun of Yes Network. And I would, you know, Yankee. But, man, they put on such a good product.
Yeah, I never noticed. Dan, did you ever notice?
Such a good product.
No, and I'm not liking what you're saying right now.
Yeah. Why? Because I said some nice things about the Yankees.
Yeah, we don't do that around here.
It's just interesting to watch and to see that. I mean, it's just that product is just so good. So good.
Well, of course, when you got to hire somebody to mop up the drool of Michael Kay every time something good happens.
Yeah, it's not so much that. I
had dinner with Michael Kay one night.
And what'd you eat?
Ding! We had chicken in the media room at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, I thought you went out to dinner with him.
No. I was like the new kid at school sitting by himself. Michael came over and sat down.
Oh, well, that was nice.
Yeah, we had a nice chat.
And you are Jeff Phelps? Nice.
He helps. That's P helps to you.
Mr. Phelps. Mr. Phillips, as you were yesterday on the network.
What do you think of Darius's absence, especially if it continues? I mean, he was out two games against Miami. They happened to be the two games where Miami decided that they would much rather be at the beach, eating at the Hooters on South Beach, doing anything other than playing the Cavaliers. I mean, they just phoned it in. So Darius's absence was not noticed. I thought it was noticed yesterday.
I thought it was too.
I also wonder, though, does Darius come back? First of all, if he comes back, you can't imagine the toe is going to be, you know, terribly healthy. So does that hurt him on the court? Also, I'm sorry, if he comes out and puts up 15 to 20 shots and Ty Jerome comes off the bench and puts up 15 to 20 shots, and if Donovan puts up 25 shots, still too many shots out of the guard, I think. Although, as Quinn said, depends on how many you're making. He's right about that.
He's right. There was no doubt when he said it. I don't know why I have such a bad... I don't have the confidence I had as I sat in here the other day on Friday or Thursday or Friday. Because, was it Quinn or was it Chris that said that there is definitely a path for Indiana to win.
Chris said that.
I think Chris is right.
Yeah, you were pretty much non-Pacer last week.
It's not that I wasn't non-Pacer.
You yelled at me for saying the Pacers had a chance.
No, I didn't yell at you for saying they had a chance.
Dan, didn't he?
No, tell him that's not true. If you're going to be right, be right. You're not right on this one. I just thought the Cavs weren't getting enough credit and that we were, you know, like bowing down. We were crowning them before we even played a game against them. And I'm not saying crowning they were going to win, but put them on this pedestal. I'm like, okay, yeah,
being
I get
a
it.
Good team.
Yeah, like I just thought too much credit was going. They were getting too much credit going in.
I thought Quinn made an interesting comment. He said the Cavs are a great team and the Pacers are a good team.
Yeah, I think we're getting suckered by all their broadcasters because they're all saying that to us.
Boyle said the exact same
thing.
Yeah,
they were just like, you know, we're just kind of,
we're just the little team that could.
Yeah, we're just the kids from the farm, and you know,
don't mind this Halliburton guy who's kicking your butt.
You guys play this big city basketball. We're just five guys trying to put the ball through the hoop, and you know, whatever happens
five
at the end,
guys
we'll be
firing as one.
We'll be excited.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that was Norman Dale.
It was. You know, we're just trying to do the best we can, and gee whiz, you guys are really, really good, and I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. Yeah,
with Jimmy
right
here, it'll take the Indiana National Guard to get me out of here.
You think we're getting played?
Yes.
I think we're getting played, too. I thought we were getting played the other day, too. Like, you know, we're just a good it's almost that, and I'm not saying Quinn's like this, but, you know, you get that, hey, remember where you work, that you work for. You don't want to give them any bulletin board material, blah, 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 blah. I thought Quinn broke down the game, though, really well. So
the key thing to me, and, you know, Quinn talked about this. I brought it up earlier in the show. Fedor brought up the same thing unprompted. It was this. Okay, Pacers come out fast. They put up 36 in the first quarter. They build a double-digit lead. Fine, that happens in NBA games. But when the Cavs put together their 20-4 run in the third quarter and took the lead back, that's when typical Cavs during the regular season, that's when, oh, wait a minute, the Cavs put together a 20-4 run and took the lead. Well, now they put the pedal down and all of a sudden they're up by 15.
Right.
That didn't happen yesterday.
No, it didn't. And they got ice cold at the end of the game.
And that, to me, Andy, if you're Rick Carlisle, that's what you have to think. Dang, that was good. And that's where we go and we teach. And that's where we go and we say, fellas, they made their run. And we held on. In fact, not only did we hold on, we took their run. We took their big blow. And then we put together a 20-10 run to close the game. If I'm Indiana, that's what I'm most giddy about after yesterday. Yeah, Cavs made their run. They came back. They got into the game. And then we pulled away. That was impressive.
They just...
on the road.
Yeah. What was it? 104-102 at one point? So with 541...
I think it was 88-84 Cavs in the third quarter after the 20-4 run.
So with 6 minutes to go in the game, it was a two-point game with 6 minutes to go in there. And that's when the Pacers just took off. So...
They were good, no question. Yep. Cleveland is in Cleveland, talking about Cleveland.
How are you guys doing?
We are well.
How are you, Cleveland?
Great. I just wanted to mention a couple of things real quick. One is, wasn't Garland noted this year for being a clutch shooter?
He's been noted for that for some time.
Yeah, and also... who passes better to the bigs than Garland out of anybody on the team?
Donovan does a good job of it, too. So does Ty Jerome. I think all three do.
Yeah,
but I would say Darius is probably the best. Cleveland, probably.
Yeah, so I just figured that was one of the big things. And then, because usually at the end of the scoring, usually it's like 30 for Mitchell, 25 for Garland, and 20 for Ty Jerome, and we just didn't have that other piece. And I'll let you guys go on with it. Thanks. Yep.
Thank you.
All right, Cleo. I just think you got to get the other guys involved. And as other folks have said, it's because Mobley's not aggressive enough. Okay, well, then get him the ball where he can be aggressive. He looked pretty darn aggressive early on, Andy. Now, if you hurt his ankle and that was part of it, okay, maybe that's part of it. But I just think the Cavs have an advantage there. Between Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, they have an advantage. And I think you should exploit it. And if those two guys don't combine for more than 20 shots in game two, I'll be stunned. And I'll wonder what happened. Especially if they lose and those guys don't shoot a lot. You know, if the guards, as Quinn said, you know, if Donovan takes 30 shots and he makes 20, well, good night, you're going to win. You know, that's probably going to happen. You know, if you make your shots, you're going to win the game if you take that many shots. But they didn't yesterday. The big guys shot the ball well, the littler guys didn't, and the Cavs lost. I don't know that that's a coincidence.
I'm just looking at the I'll bring it up in a second. I was just looking at the shot chart from yesterday. The Cavs took one shot that wasn't at least on the arc or inside the paint. One. That was it. It's insane.
Two-pointers don't exist, Andy.
No, not at all. It's bizarre to even look at that.
Yeah, it's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Game one tonight, New York, Boston. That could be fun. And Denver, Oklahoma City. That also could be fun. So for your television viewing enjoyment, there you go. Both of those games tonight on TNT. 7 o'clock start for the Knicks and the Celtics, and then a 9:30 start for Denver and Oklahoma City. You might need to take a nap when you get home to stay up to see the end of the Denver-Oklahoma City game, but I'll bet it'll be worth it.
Well, it was worth it. I was going to say, if you stayed up for the NHL last night, it was worth it too. But the offseason storylines with the Browns never end. There's a QB competition ahead, and the Cavs playoff run continues with our eyes on a potential rematch in the Eastern Conference Finals. There you go. Don't miss a minute of The Fan. With the latest breaking news during your workday or on the go, stream us at 923thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app.
Darius Garland not playing, you know, last night and not playing the last two games of the Miami series put a spotlight on something silly. Remember when the NBA had a dress code for players sitting on the bench?
Yeah, did you have to wear a suit?
You had to wear a jacket.
Okay.
You had to have
business casual.
Like a blazer.
Yeah.
And you could have had a blazer on over a t-shirt and jeans, but you had to have a blazer on. Last night, Darius had a jacket, but it was denim, and had like a t-shirt on, and you know, he looked just fine, but he looked very casual. One game in the Miami series that he missed, shorts and a shirt, like shorts and a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, that okay? Is it okay that the dress code has been completely tossed, or did you like it? Should the guys look a little better? Coaches used to wear suits, you mm-hmm. know, all the time. Mm-hmm. Now they wear the matching team apparel,
yeah, you know,
the athletic gear. It's a matter one way or the other. COVID changed everything on that.
I don't care if these guys don't want to wear suits or a tie. That totally makes sense to me. I think. I think they should have to wear team apparel. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you should have to wear like a
team warm up still.
Yeah, either a warm up or a golf shirt.
If you're
or
a player.
Yeah, you know why? And I'm not trying to be. I mean, this is kind of nitpicky, but like, let's just say, especially early in the season, if you're somebody who just started working there, and you should you know who all the players are? I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I would imagine security's not going to throw them out.
No, but I'm saying, like, if you're trying to figure out if someone's a player or not a player, I guess if you walk by someone who's 6'7", 6'8", you're going to assume they're probably a player. But if they're not playing that day, like, I kind of feel like you should have to wear at least a team golf shirt or a jacket. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with jeans or maybe even like a pin, a Cavalier pin or something that's special only to staff and players. You know what I'm saying?
I'll be honest. I agree with you. I think it would be nice if the guys wore some type of team apparel. You don't have to wear, you know, warm up. You're not playing.
Right.
But if you were wearing just like normal clothes and you wore, you know, a Cavs Cavs zip-up jacket over top of it or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, do you mind the coaches throughout the NBA
no,
no
not at
wearing
all.
Suits?
That doesn't bother me at all.
No?
No. I don't mind the fact that coaches don't wear suits.
There was a coach in the MAC this year who showed up at an Akron game wearing a suit, and his entire coaching staff, they were wearing suits. And I thought, well, that looks really great and different because we're not used to it anymore. You know, now most coaching staffs wear just, you know, like athletic gear.
But I also think this shouldn't come from the league. I think it should come from the NBAPA. The
really?
NBAPA should want these guys
to look professional.
Yeah. I mean, the league minimum is what, $1.1 million?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
These days?
League minimum salary for the 24-25 seasons, $1.157 million. And that's for players with no experience in the league. If you have 10 or more years, it's $3.3 million. I would think that the NBAPA
would want the guys to look a little...
It's not even on the league. I mean, think about how baseball travels too, right? Baseball was always... The veterans in the clubhouse set the standard for what you should be wearing, what you shouldn't be wearing on a... And it's funny because... The whole notion of traveling, dressing while traveling, made a lot more sense when you were going somewhere on a train. Now no one sees you. Remember when they would have the rookie dress-up days for baseball?
Yeah.
Like, I used to laugh at that. I'm like, oh, they make these guys dress up. For what? They're going to walk down the hallway, get on a bus, get on a plane, and have to walk from the bus to the hotel in a goofy costume, and that's the end of
it. With lots of cameras, though.
Yeah, so... I just dress professional. Dress to be the person you want to be. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I'll give you that one.
Hmm?
Not a bad way to go.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, look at the other sports. It's always, I've always thought it was kind of strange that baseball managers wear uniforms.
I do think that's weird too.
You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of different.
But most of them wear jackets or wear
Many
a jacket over.
Many of them
now
wear a jacket over top and probably aren't wearing a uniform top.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what half the manager's numbers are ever.
No.
Because they're always
it's
doing
like,
that.
It's like, remember what number Terry Francona wore here when he was manager?
No idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
77.
I would have no idea.
I know.
I don't
strange?
Think I ever once noticed it.
Yeah, me neither.
Because this used to be a big... Hugo Boss had an outlet store here that was a huge hub for professional athletes that wanted
would
to come
show
through.
Up there all the time, yeah.
Especially when the NHL came to Columbus, it was a huge deal.
Was it really?
Those guys would drive up from Columbus to go to that Hugo Boss store.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it wasn't until some of the media guys were telling me, like, yeah, like 10, 15 guys a pop would drive up here to put those suits on because they knew they were nice suits and they knew they were getting a good deal on them.
You remember in the 90s especially, and then I think maybe early 2000s, NBA guys, when they showed up for games, it was like a fashion show because they were all wearing the suits.
Still kind of is.
Well, it can be. Do you remember when LeBron was a rookie?
Yeah.
LeBron and whoever did it, and if maybe it was completely his idea, maybe it was his mom, maybe it was his agency, whatever.
Nike.
Whatever, at the time. He wore preppy clothing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he didn't wear coats and ties. But he wore really nice looking preppy stuff.
Yeah.
And he always looked great.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a cool look. If you go back a little further, when in the Price Doherty era, I remember a lot of guys would wear suits to the game. But the Cavs were a pretty casual bunch. And I remember Mark Price would always just wear like a shirt and jeans. I remember Brad Doherty one time wore overalls to come to a game. And Brad from... You know, Black Mountain, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Grew up in overalls, but he wore overalls to a game one time. I thought, that's kind of funny. But those guys were kind of just laid back country guys, a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, and so they didn't bust out the suit and tie very often.
But
other teams did, man. It was like outrageous.
A big deal for when a guy got called up from the minors for the first time for baseball.
Somebody took him out.
Well, and they're always like, you know, you think about it, oh, here's this great, you know, moment in your life. You got a chance. You're going from the minors to the bigs, and then all of a sudden you're stressing because you don't have a sport coat to travel.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get fined.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's more of a that shouldn't be a league mandate. That should be a player-to-player peer.
Should it be a team-to-team thing?
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that. If the captains of a team think that you should do this, I think that that should, you know, you can create your own atmosphere, right? You're creating your own clubhouse, your own locker room.
Heavy.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that's one of those things with, that's how you get leadership and that's how leadership builds up, is that those guys are implementing it. Like, I just, the league and the team shouldn't really have much to do with that.
I would agree with that.
I think it's on the players.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, it should be. And you should want to, I mean, there was a...
You and I are saying this.
Yeah.
As two guys who wore ties for 30, 40 years.
And now I hate daily. Wearing, hate wearing.
No, absolutely can't stand it.
I don't ever want to
wear it. I never actually liked it. But as long as we had to do it, you wanted to look good. You know, you wanted to wear nice stuff.
I don't know if I've ever shared this with you. When, like, and I know this is a Montana story, but it's a Montana story. Montana had a basketball
Montana
player.
Montana stories?
But
good Lord, man.
They had
it's
a basketball.
Like, it's not like I bore you with Beaumont stories.
Well, that's true. But there was a player, her name was Shannon Kate, and she was an All-American, and she was really, really, really good. And she used to wear makeup, like full makeup for every game.
Oh, yeah.
And I finally said to her, I'm like, hey, you know, you're going to go out there and sweat, and you play hard, and you're just like, well, I'm just curious, why do you wear full makeup?
And she said, well, you do.
That's true. I did, too. That is a good point. I was wearing Coverboy. She said, if I look good, I feel good, I play good. And so, it's that whole dress for success thing.
Yeah, I like that. Dennis is in Aurora, home of the Green Men. Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, guys. How are you? Love the show. Long time listener.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I just wanted to chime in here about the suits and everything. I think that kind of started to change when the players had pushback about wearing suits because they wanted to express themselves with their own jewelry and clothing and shoes and everything. And that's, in my opinion, is when it really started to change.
Wasn't Allen Iverson one of the key guys in that?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dennis, that's okay, don't you think? I mean, I get it.
I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about the players, right? So they should be able to express the way they want to dress and the jewelry that they want to wear. And I think that was just kind of the changing of the guard, because if you look at it, old time, you know, even in just in general population, the older days, people dressed up. That doesn't
even to go to the game. Think about it. Yeah, they used to wear suits.
No, absolutely. Yeah. So, guys, have a great day. Thank you very much.
All right, Dennis. Thanks for calling. We appreciate that. One thing to remember, guys in the NBA, they might be traveling, you know? And so, like, you're in a full suit and you're heading out. That stinks. Joe's in Cleveland. Joe.
Hey, guys. Try to keep the noise on Forklift Joe here. But
oh, nice.
Just like you guys, we were talking, me and my coworker were talking this morning. A few years ago, we had some guy run around the sneaking in on the docks, because we can kind of wear what you want to inside here. Once you have a badge, you pay attention to that. He's shaking everybody's hands. We didn't know who he was. So I can see Andy's point, plus that little bit of professionalism. Even a t-shirt or whatever just has something across it that says it. So I could say almost any job like that for a lot of reasons. I just want to pipe in. That's it.
Thanks, Joe.
Going back to work, guys.
There you go. Thank
Appreciate
you.
That. Yeah, I don't mind the guys being casual, but maybe look like a something team-oriented. Maybe gives it a better look all the way around. And if you're making 50% of your three-pointers, who cares one way or the other, right?
Right. That's all that matters. Who cares what you're wearing?
How do the Cavaliers bounce back in this series, folks? Mm. They didn't look good in game one, then looked good for a while in game one, and the Pacers kept them down. How do the Cavs bounce back? Do you think the Cavs will bounce back? Can you imagine going down 2-0 and losing two games at
home?
Ooh,
no. We don't want to talk about that.
We're going to next on Baskin NFL.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.